Just wanted to start reading this morning the scripture based on the theme of the message, living in Christ's accomplishment. And this is going to be up on the screen, chapter 2, of beginning at verse 11, just four verses this morning. This is one of those passages that you would do well to spend more time just seeing the significance of what the apostle is communicating here. But he says, in him, this is speaking about Jesus Christ, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. If you want to see what this passage says, the 3 points in the back of your bulletin. Number one, this passage demands, and I sort of want to underline that word, demands. It demands our spiritual comprehension. It truly does. It's verses 11 and 12. Verse 13, and that should say in the back of your bulletin, verse 13 and 14, this describes our spiritual condition. And I believe there's both for saved and unsaved here. You could take a look at that. We will together. And most importantly here, I believe, is displays our conquering Savior. And that's a high point here to this passage. Well, many years ago, and I'll get to those points and we'll develop those together. Many years ago, when you pulled over to ask for directions, remember these days? You tell the guy at the gas station, I'm lost. Why do we think these gas station guys know everything, right? But they did. And then tell him where you want to go, and the guy tells you, go up here, take a right, then take the next light, after the next light, take a left, and then another immediate left after that. You can't miss it, right? Thank you. Right now, you have his series of sort of mean-looking directions going through your head, and as you're walking away, he said, take a left. That's all you remember he said, take a left. You get back in the car, and the guy notices that you're now driving in the wrong direction, and he's yelling at you, you were supposed to take a right. Right now, a guy behind you puts on his brakes, and he's mad at you. Now you're totally confused. You don't want to go back and talk to that guy because you're afraid of him. And now you're lost all over again, right? This is truly a recalculating moment, right? Oh, my goodness. You know, you're braking, people are beeping, you got the deer in the headlight look, the heart is beating, you know that feeling. You know, there's a lot at stake when we get directions messed up. Think of those wonderful moments. It just, they don't feel quite right. Everything. I mean, looking at your clock, I'm going to be late, you're calling, your cell phone's dead. I mean, you name it. It seems like when everything can fail, it fails at that moment. But if you don't understand where you are going, it is best to take the time to find out. Most people sometimes stay going in the wrong direction for way too long. This is a very man thing. My wife will say to me years ago, when we didn't have GPS, will you pull over and ask for directions? No, I think it's going to work out, right? And she'd be like, no, it's not working out. You've taken us 11 miles out of the way, right? So that never happens anymore. Thanks to iPhone. No. But not really. I still actually like the GPS on the windshield. That one's nice. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ wants lost people, and that is sinners. In a newsflash, that's everybody ever born. You did not come into this world without sin, and God didn't put sin in you. Sometimes people think, oh, God made me a sinner. No, he didn't. You inherited sin. And Christ Jesus is the one remedy to remove that this side of heaven. And sinners need to be found. And that's another word for saying saved. Eternally rescued. Placed from one domain of darkness that we're born into and transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. A person can live their entire life lost, hoping that maybe it might just all work out in the end, and they could face God and they are found wanting because they don't have what God provided, and that was a free gift of salvation. That's why we can boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus, because as Amanda just sang, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. So we're here to talk about Jesus. We're talking about somebody who has been there, done that, and did it, and completed it. And we want people to know this grand salvation, this only salvation, the one that God backs. This is a God-backed salvation. This is not, it doesn't matter if man approves of this. God approves of it, and we need to approve of it. That's what a believer is. A believer is one who's approved what God has done and says, I agree. I agree with that. That's for me. I'm not questioning it. I'm not adjusting it. I'm not messing with it. In one sense, the believer says, "I that's for me. And that's for me." A truly saved person needs a continual and steady reinforcement of the milk of the word. That's called the basics. If you don't get the basics right in your life and in your understanding, you cannot move on to meat. Solid food, Paul calls that. That's for the mature. As we talk about the things of the Lord, future things and things that really are part of our future with Jesus Christ, you want to get the basics straight. Get these basics down. Grow in them. Understand them. Know security. Know joy. Know the things that belong to you as a believer. And then after some time, you should be going on to the meat of the word, the deeper things. A good test for you is if you were to look at the themes of the epistles, would you know, okay, yeah, I recognize that Galatians is actually a book to confront lies and legalism. Do you know what the book of Hebrews is? And do we understand that that's a book about the supremacy of Jesus Christ? Could you in your mind say, I know where to find truth when I need it? You're likely on going on to the meat of the word. When crises happen and things go wrong in your life and suddenly you're wondering, I kind of just hope this all works out. You need to go back to the milk of the word and get nourished in that. And just like that newborn baby that we hope to see around this place, that baby is going to need a lot of milk and a lot of reassurance. And that's what we want. Babies need reassurance. They need hugging. How do you think they wrap them tightly, right? Because they just left the best climate ever, a mother's womb. They hung out in this perfect, secure environment. And do we ever need to argue for the security of the womb? It's where God does his knitting to us together. Satan has trifled. He has destroyed the very things of God. He's just taken in, and even the womb is a precious view of what God does and how he grows. And man has no right to interfere with that. Jesus states what he wants for believers. If you're familiar towards the end of John's gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John writes about the necessity of believing Jesus. That is a beautiful, simple gospel if you want to introduce somebody to Jesus Christ and to say, this is what God requires. He requires belief. He requires trust in Jesus. Jesus verified he was the embodiment of God in flesh, and he expects us to believe him. But towards the very end of John's gospel, John records a prayer that Jesus prayed. And you can look at John 17. I'm only reading you four verses. Jesus spoke these words in John 17 just before suffering at the hands of the ruling leadership, and then he would be nailed to the cross. He prays this prayer. He lifted up his eyes toward heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, and that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus' prayer continues in those remaining verses. It's a pretty lengthy prayer. He prays for believers that they would be settled on the cohesive unity of the Word of God. Believe on me through their word. Here's what he's saying. On their word, on the apostles' word, which clearly would be brought forth by the apostles' teaching. This is why it's important that the church is unified on doctrine. Christ wants us unified on things pertaining to him. And that's so important that we get that. We're not picking a thing out here and a thing out there and trying to say, well, I think this kind of fits. Does it fit with the revealed word of God? And I believe that's what we make a good case for week after week, whether it's in the Sunday school or it's here or it's Tuesday morning or it's Wednesday morning, that we want the cohesiveness of the Word of God to be really gelling together in the life of every believer. Anyone who comes into this place can know who knows who we stand for and how to grow in Christ. Make no mistake, God wants you to know his directions. As we've been seeing in Colossians is the book to keep all things straight about Jesus, of avoiding lies, thefts, and that's spiritual thefts, being robbed. That's what Paul talked about last week, being cheated. People allow themselves to be cheated. You need to know how to guard against errors that threaten the early church, and no doubt the present church. That's why these are foundational letters, because they dealt with the things in the early church that are so common to every church environment. And that's why I believe that we need to fight for doctrinal clarity. We're not better. We just go with what God says. If you go with what God says, you can't get messed up. And people might try to mess you up, but you know where you stand. Who wants to be straight? Who wants to be straight on the things of God? Amen? All right. I'm trusting that is a hearty amen. All right. So number one, this demands our spiritual comprehension, verses 11 and 12. Well, with Disney and Aaron's future this week, Aaron loves Tigger. It's appropriate to use Tigger and Eeyore as an illustration. This just makes good sense. Your spiritual comprehension... as Tigger says, I believe needs to be Tiggerized. And that means you're going to get excited what really belongs to you. So since I baited you, let's watch this moment. Our spiritual comprehension that God has given to us energizes us. I'm not saying you're going to look like Tigger every day, but you should be looking more like Tigger than Eeyore. There's a lot of Christians who think like Eeyore, and they are living in this mode of, if it works out. Do you recognize when you think about what Christ accomplished for us at the cross, it is the energy that can take your life now and give you energy to serve Jesus Christ all the way till you see him face to face. This is what I think we lack sometimes, but we need the spiritual comprehension. We truly need to know what God has done. Not just, again, I'm a work in progress. Just saying. I didn't always think this way. Years ago, I used to let lots of highs and lows kind of dictate my joy. And I said, enough is enough. Done. I'm going to stamp out those lies because they are lies. And they are lies. And so often I think Christians they're not utilizing what God wants them to have for their life. To stamp out and to live in this Christ accomplishment that was given. And that's what Paul is really arguing here with these Colossians. He's really saying, do you guys get it? In him, You were also circumcised. See, some of the things that were creeping back into the early church was requirements taking people back from a system that Jesus Christ completed in full at the cross, and now they're trying to bring these people back under these things, such as circumcision, a ceremony, a this, a that. It's Jesus plus. You know, he just wasn't enough. And somehow, if you really want to prove you're a Christian, you got to go do all these things. Believer's baptism, and I'm all for seeing believers go down into the water and come up and represent new life that happened in Jesus Christ. But that didn't take away your sin. And so many people are like, I need to be baptized. Well, why do you need to be baptized? Do you recognize that what that really means is that you're willing to take, you're willing to be outed for Jesus? That's what that's about. That's really what a believer's baptism is. It represents, I have received this new life. The one way you can demonstrate that is go down in the waters of baptism and come up. We had 12 people last summer baptized at Ed Flagg's place. It was wonderful. It was awesome. Praise God for what happened in this church of 2018. I'm still floored. I still want more. I want more. I want the things that God wants. But the point is, baptism didn't wash away sin. And that's not what Paul, when he mentions baptism here, that's not the baptism. I'm talking about water baptism. And the true circumcision that Paul is explaining here happened by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The transaction that happened at that cross is so comprehensive. It is so monumental. It is so significant that if we would just settle the fact that I can now enter this righteousness because I received it as a gift, you could enter the territory that God has secured for you once and for all. The church can easily be distracted by things that can keep them from seeing these things. People sometimes want to push, we need better disciples, we need better disciples, we need better. We need babies, we need new babies that are birthed correctly, and we want those babies nourished in the Word of God. Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are being saved. Salvation, as we say scripturally, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is looking correctly at Jesus Christ. And so, when Jesus Christ takes the penalty on that cross, which he was the only one who could do it. John says, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. A true circumcision happened that day. Christ, in his suffering, cut away our sin nature. The penalty for that sin nature, he paid for in full. And it's now been nailed to the cross. So my sin nature was crucified with Jesus Christ. It has been moved out of the way. A person who is in Christ, and that means when you receive Christ, you get the full scope of the righteousness of God surrounding your life. Christ is in you. God sees Jesus Christ in you. He sees a righteous person, and now you need to grow in that righteousness. And so I think what happens for a lot of people is that they don't grasp, they don't see the spiritual comprehension of what happened. Do you recognize he just didn't die on the cross? He dealt with everything in you and me that was vile and sinful and disgusting and gross and needs to be removed, and he pays for it in full, gladly, and he gives you the credit. Is that not a hallelujah? That's a hallelujah. That's a big celebration. Some people have a hard time thinking they're vile. Well, if God says I'm a sinner, I just got to say, I'm on board with that, okay? I'm not going to deny that I am. Yeah, am I the worst sinner in the world? Maybe not, but you know what? That doesn't matter. I still fit the category. You do too, if you didn't know. Okay. I love you. We speak the truth in love around here. Bunch of sinners? No, I'm just... Sinners saved by grace, that is. And that's another one that we sometimes like to use. But you know what? Let me just make this point. Paul can talk to struggling churches that are still having trouble growing because, here's the reality, the sin nature is still with us until we see Jesus. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That's the thing, that we are just waiting to shed this thing. And in the moment, Jesus could call his church home. In other words, my Jesus has the power to remove every genuine born-again believer off this planet in an instant. That's how powerful my Jesus is. That's the God who raises his own son from the dead and gives promise that he is coming again. And he wants us to take comfort that he's doing this. And Jesus is working all things together. He's doing it right now. And you know what? He's cheering you on right now in that seat right there. He's cheering me on because he wants us to get these things. And you know what? His Holy Spirit promises to teach you and to lead you into all truth. Some of these things you and I can learn to discover for ourselves as we're growing in grace, as we're growing. The Christian life is an ongoing growth. It's a growth in the right direction. You're growing in this wonderful grace. Just keep fighting for it. Duke it out if you have to. Paul says, I fight the good fight of faith. Are you lazy? You struggling with laziness? Get yourself up early. Get your face in your Bible. I'm speaking of myself too here. My finger's pointing back at me. Every time I give you something to think about, I'm gonna say, you know, you do the same thing, Pastor. Because I need to also hear this too. See, when Christ is laid into the grave, he's buried. He's buried there. There's a baptism there. That was the fact that Jesus, his work on that cross was complete. But now he's in that grave. He's going to reside 3 days in a tomb. There's a baptism. So sin was fully paid for on that cross. Christ was separate from his Father. He took on the separation that you and I deserve. Jesus knows what it's like to feel completely separated from God. Jesus never had experienced this separation until now. And he took that for you. And you've been buried. This is a complete work that when you're laid with Christ in that tomb, he took for himself your death in his place. And then he was raised to life. You want to know if you've been raised to life? Have you placed faith in him? Through faith, the working of God. See, when the moment you say, and your will was never dead, you've never not been able to place faith in Jesus. You're not waiting for the switch to go on. Some people think like, you know, until the switch can go on in me, like unless I've been quickened. God has always demanded to the sinner to repent and believe. That is within your choice and my choice. Every day. Every day we can say, you know, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. And the moment you do that, you place faith in what he's done for you. Because you know that he's the one who raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ was raised for you. Paul says, I love this, in Ephesians he says, see, this is so significant that you and I can miss this understanding, this divine transaction that was so complete in the death of our Savior, in the burial of our Savior, in the baptism of our Savior, this baptism into death for us, this full experience of separation and all the things that Jesus would accomplish something so complete and so finished and so glorious that we might miss some of these fine details. Paul would say this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, this would be back in the book of Ephesians, the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory and of his inheritance in the saints. See, Paul's praying for our understanding. We need prayer here, people. We need to get this. This isn't just, well, you know, I'm just trying to live the Christian life better. If you get this level of understanding of what I believe Paul is saying here, this demands our spiritual comprehension. This is a pay attention. This is, if you don't get this, go back. Go back to that gas station guy. Go back and get those directions. So often I think we repeat the same loops around the wrong streets and we're wondering, why am I not growing? Why didn't I get to that destination safely? Because sometimes we didn't wrestle with this. This demands spiritual understanding. And Paul says, so much so that I'm going to pray for you. That the apostles' prayer is that. Paul says, who is sufficient for these things? That was one of his great cries. Like, look at this. God has given me the privilege of me being an ambassador for Jesus this side of heaven. Who's sufficient for this? I'm a steward of the grace of God. I get to do this. And at the same point, there's great responsibility with that. There's great importance that we would just get this. This isn't just reserved for the pastor. This is reserved for the people. This is reserved for the people of God. Hopefully the pastor's got a little bit more and he might be able to show you a few things. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? This is not in your script or not in front of you. I am in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 as I'm reading here. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. In other words, Paul is praying for us here that we would get it. This demands our spiritual comprehension. And not everything in the Christian life is easy to understand. I'm just saying, I get this. There are times I look at these passages, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is such a thorough, precise word. This is a living Bible. This is a living word. God wants me to see these things. I heard an amen. All right. A few more don't hurt. I'm not a spaz. You know, Friday was such a weird day for me. I came over here to the church and I'm barely standing. Yeah. I'm not looking for pity. But anyway. So we're exploring a prophecy conference here at the church. And we're certainly praying about that and for future stuff. And so I make a phone call. So I get the voicemail, and I make a couple of comments because I know of this organization, and I go to leave my number, and I say, you can call me at... I completely drew a blank on the church's phone number. Then I'm like, I'm all set here. That's no problem. I'll give him my cell phone. I started to give him my cell phone number, and I realized that was completely wrong. I don't even know my own cell phone number right now. What happened to me? I had the guts to say, call me to the people on the voicemail. I'm like, that is just like bad. They're not going to call me. I don't even think either number was right. I'm like, who's this loony? But so I literally went over and picked up my own business card. And then I called these people back again. We had a nice talk and it was okay. But those are moments that I'm telling you, I need a vacation. I need a vacation. Oh my goodness, I get so energized in this work, but I also need some time to break. And I'm okay with that. I'm just so glad for what the Lord has given me to do here. But I just think it's so important that when we don't understand something in the Word of God, that we don't quit. And so many times I think that's what happens. And you need to... That's why when Paul talks about we compare Scripture with Scripture, that is a good Bible student. Somebody who says, you know what? I see this truth elsewhere. Let's see how it comes together. So much so that if you think of how David even thought about some of this, King David, the psalmist, who life was many times just a mess and running for his life, but yet recognizing he knew who he could trust. He says, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Oh, wow, isn't that cool? The more you get acquainted with the Word of God, the more Scripture that comes alive, the more it fits together, and it's like you're just like peeling that onion that is just, it's like the onion that keeps on going. It just can't be, you can't access all of it. It is so wonderfully full and nourishing, and God doesn't have to speak multiple times. He can speak once, he can make it clear, and he can expect us to come on board. Amen? So Paul turned to God and he prays for these believers because he recognizes what's at stake here. So much at stake for every believer. I mean, there's so many potholes, battle zones for the Christian. And if you don't learn how to navigate those, and some of us have fallen flat on our face. Ever fall flat on your face, Dennis? Never once? No, I guess not. Okay, I have, just saying. Fall flat in my face as a Christian. And there are times you wonder, how am I going to recover from this one? It might be a string of doubts. It might be something you wish you had said. It may be something that you wish you didn't say. It may be all of those things. You know what? If you got five or six of those in a row that seem to like make you question, am I really saved? Am I really a believer? You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask that question. I think you need to move on. I think the believer needs to move on. I think if Jesus Christ says it's finished and you say, I believe that, you go with it. No matter how many times you fail and get up, you keep going. Because God gave you that right to keep going. He afforded you the right. Living in Christ's accomplishment is laying hold of what belongs to you. Not sitting in some sulk zone that just keeps you kind of down. Enjoy what God has afforded for you in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know, I'm a little happy. I think we should be happy about this. But Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14 describes our spiritual condition. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. In other words, your sins are on you. That's really what this is saying. You are dead in your trespasses. Other points, Paul says, you had no hope in the world. You are without God. He's talking to a Gentile audience here. But he's also knowing that these people had already received Jesus. He made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. What part of all don't we get? What part of all is confusing here? Having forgiven you all trespasses. But your condition is, you want to describe your spiritual condition. You were dead in your sins and your trespasses before God. Dead on arrival, if you would. That's why I just say, you know what? We have to pray every day that God will lead us to somebody who needs to know Christ. I need to have this same alertness and attentiveness. And I need to be caring about people's souls. Because I don't want anyone going to hell. I don't want anybody stepping out of this opportunity to know Jesus in complete forgiveness. That sounds really harsh, I know, but you know what? God said it. He put his own son, who left perfect heaven, paid a full debt that he didn't deserve, and he says, you know what? He who looks to the Son, he who looks to Jesus, will have their sins forgiven. Look. A look is a belief. A look is a trust. Oh my goodness, this is so important. But he made you alive together with him. This is what happened. God completed a transaction at the cross that was so complete that the moment you believe it is the moment you gain all of what God has for you. The problem is it's not yet quite developed in you and me. And that resistance factor that's working against the believer is the old nature that the believer needs to reckon himself dead. I've died with Jesus, and I'm alive to him forevermore. And I don't have to think this way. And finally, verse 15 says, this displays our conquering Savior. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. In other words, sin wasn't meant to be part of your life and mine. But we can't help that in one sense. We can only appropriate what God has done for us. It's contrary. Sin is contrary to humanity. Just look at what happened this week with this girl in Boston, killed. Stuff just should sicken us sometimes. But see, sin's in every human heart. And you're like, how many times do we have to watch this movie play out again? Don't people get it? That's why I think you need to watch where you go. You need to know where you're going. Don't be in places. You know, as the world increasingly becomes more and more evil, be aware, be vigilant. I was in the Buzzards Bay police station recently, and I was talking to the woman. And she's saying, you know, it's just, you see people's overall concern about the times that we're living in. This is a woman, police station. I had to tell her I was a pastor. But, you know, and I see that, you know, people are more and more fearful. And I, Maybe that's a sign of the times. That's why I think having a correct prophecy conference that we're looking at to do in the future, I think is good to have our mind fixed on the future that truly belongs to the believer, God's plan for Israel and God's plan for the church. And he's completing that right now. You know, when Trump put the embassy, it moved it from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, I've seen his presidency in every way looks like it's about to be destroyed. I know Trump's not a perfect man. Sometimes I just wish the guy would keep his mouth closed, okay? I agree. But I do care about our country, and I do care about our borders, and I think what we're seeing in this country right now with this overrunning of borders and all this stuff, and you know, this crime and people and craziness, and they said that I read a story last night that the crime in New York City, rape and murder, is up like 23%. We live in a crazy world. And I serve a Savior. I serve a risen Savior who dealt with this in full. And we don't want anyone leaving heaven without, I mean, anyone leaving earth without Jesus Christ. He is, as the song we sang earlier this morning, to God be the glory, the vilest offender who truly believes the moment a pardon's received, the moment that a person places faith in Jesus Christ. A full, total pardon for all our sin. Whether you think you've done more good than bad doesn't matter. I guarantee you got a few in there. We all do. There's a lot of regret in people's lives. The shoulda, the coulda's, the would've. What was I thinking? What came over me? What was that? Because you came into this earth with sin. As precious as you were as a child, and God has never stopped loving you. And the moment, the fact that you're in this building right now is full proof that Jesus Christ loves you. And he wants you to know these things, but he wants you to get it. This demands our spiritual comprehension. It describes our spiritual condition, and this displays our conquering Savior. And he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. He disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over in it. I love what this commentary kind of puts a series of perspectives on this. All the things that Christ, what was happening in those moments when he finished his work at the cross and he rose again. Who are these spiritual rulers and authorities, this commentator says? Several things should be considered, including demonic powers, the gods of the powerful nations, angels highly regarded by heretical teachers, the government of Rome. Since Paul did not identify with these rulers and authorities, it could be any of them or all four. What Christ disarmed on the cross was any embodiment of rebellion in the world, whether there be by Satan and his demons, false idols, or pagan religions, evil world governments, or even God's good angels when they became objects of worship. This disarming occurred when Jesus died on the cross, like stripping a defeated enemy of the armor on the battlefield. No greater picture of this is when young David kills Goliath, the poster child of the Philistine strength, but no match for David's God, the God of Israel. Evil no longer has any power over believers because God has disarmed it. In other words, we have the opportunity now to be protected by God in one sense, to be filled with his Spirit, to say no to the flesh, to serve him joyfully, to serve him freely. People need to know and stop forgetting that they have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and they were transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. When a person is set free permanently, evil will come knocking with false loyalty, false worship, and false dependencies. You have been set free from the law of sin and death, says the scripture. Therefore, don't be entangled any longer by those things. And that's what this is about. This is about living in Christ's accomplishment. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Living in Christ's accomplishment is the only way you'll be able to discern truth from lies. Strongholds were truly beaten by Jesus Christ. You should not be a victim of strongholds. Strongholds come into the life of the believer, but God has given you everything in Christ Jesus to overcome strongholds. He has set you free from the law of sin and death as someone who belongs to Him. I pray you know that this morning. Hear my heart. Sometimes it's easy to get up here and preach. As scary as you might think it is sometimes scary too. I don't minimize this at all. I know a lot of information comes off this pulpit. Sometimes I feel like I give a big, huge dump. I'm sort of filling you up and I'm praying that you get it. But I trust that you will wrestle yourself with these truths. You would not just leave it to me to give you a message every week, but you would grow. I would grow. We would grow together as a church. I believe we are growing together as a church. I look at you all and I'm like, if that 2-minute timer wasn't up there for the greeting time, it wouldn't stop. That's a healthy church. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. But we want to make sure that we continue to keep growing, keep nourishing. I love feeding this congregation the best that I can. Do I have more to learn? Absolutely. Do I have more I want to get under my belt in terms of spiritual progress and truth? 100%. I'm not giving up the fight. But I know that with Christ we can do this if we stay committed to His Word and live in what He accomplished for us. Pray with me, please. Dear Father, I want to thank You. Thank You so much for these believers. Father, I pray that they would, like myself, just continue to grow in this accomplishment, understanding what You've done for us. Thank You for the glorious truth of what happened at the cross. We thank You for the details of this passage. We thank You for what transpired on that cross to the grave, to the resurrection, gives the believer everything necessary now to grow through learning Your Word and through relying upon Your Holy Spirit that every believer receives the moment they receive Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I will send one in My place. He will comfort you and He will guide you into all truth. Father, I pray that our church would continue to be guided by the Holy Spirit, led by Your Spirit, directed by Your Spirit, that as we have growing pains around this place, that You will continue to lead us exactly where You want us to be, to fulfill the things that You want us to do, not shrinking back, but entering this territory that You want. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody here this morning, with just a simple slip of the hand, say, Pastor Dave, I need to live better in Christ's accomplishment for me. I'd like to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to call you out, but if that's you, raise your hand. I'd like to pray for you. Father, thank You so much for what You're doing. I pray, Father, that as we are honest and we say, that's me. I don't quite have this all figured out. And Father, most of us won't have this figured out till we see Jesus face to face. But we want to keep growing. I want to thank You for the honesty of souls in this room who say, Lord, help me. I am ready to take hold of what Jesus Christ took hold for me. And I want to enjoy this every moment I have. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you and me. Thank You, Father. Thank You. Thank You for all that You're doing. Again, continue to comfort those who are saying, I want this. In Jesus' name, I pray.